It has to do with what's known as the doctrine of adoption or the spirit of adoption, which is one of the foundational parts of the Christian faith, but it doesn't get as much attention as a lot of the other things do. So it's good today that it comes up in the readings. It comes up in the readings this week and next week especially. It has a lot to do with the Christmas message and the reason that Jesus came. And one of the best ways I can begin to describe this to you is like this. Whenever there's a band that keeps sounding better, getting tighter, as they say in the band business, not unlike our worship band this morning, one of the reasons that that happens is that each of the members of the band begins to catch how the others sound. And then at the same time, they begin to catch how the band sounds as a whole. So in other words, they begin to catch how the other musicians think, how they play, what kind of sound comes from them. You just get to know that at a certain level, a level that wasn't there before. Like a sports team sometimes, too, when a team is really able to excel and starts winning an awful lot in competition, one of the things that happens with that team is that all the team members begin to know how the other members play, what their attributes are, what their skills are, how they're able to take up different aspects of the game, whatever it may be. Not unlike that marvelous Phillies infield of the middle 2000s, just incredible talent in there, and they knew what each other was going to do in any given situation. That's a bit of what it is why God came to the earth on Christmas. He came to see us, to catch us. It is so that we get to know him at that kind of a level and even deeper. He wanted to share that with us. There's something that God desires in a relationship with us. And so he began it. He kicked it off. He got it going. He came and moved into our neighborhood. Now, there's a couple of aspects of that we see in the reading that Kathy shared with us just a few minutes ago. And one of them is this. It says that God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. Now, if you would allow the somewhat archaic use of son and the way it was in that culture, the sons were the heirs. And today, of course, it's a wider thing. Any child can be an heir. So if you put that in there, and as it says here, you are no longer a slave, but a child. All of that is true. It's true for each of us. Now, what does that mean? How does that work? What goes on with that? Why does God say you are no longer a slave, but a child? We get a clue in the beginning of this where it says, now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came. That is true, not only historically, that God's people were under the law until the birth of Christ, but it's also true for us today. We are under the law until we begin that relationship with Christ. And so that opens up for us when we move into faith. That's a different kind of thing. The fulcrum, if you will, the hinge that moves us from the law to faith, from slavehood to childhood, is adoption. This is where God adopts you and chooses you and looks at you and says, I want you to be mine. You are my child. That's the hinge of it all right there. It is easy, because we get to do it, to be thinking, well, if I get it right, if I do the correct things, if I measure up, I'm in. Or my favorite, which I've shared for you from time to time, it's still my favorite, if I get my ducks in a row, then I'm in. And let me just remind you once again, If you get your ducks in a row, what you have is a row of ducks. And what you can do with that, I'm not sure. However, God, that was pretty good, wasn't it? The law is actually a little better than a row of ducks in that, as the translation we read this morning says, it's a disciplinarian. It begins pointing you in the direction that God wants you to go in. If we stay under the law, we stay under the rules, what happens is we operate as slaves. And a slave has a relationship to a master in which you usually don't know what's on the master's heart. You know what's on the master's mind because you get told what that is and that's what you do. But that's the extent of that relationship. When you then become a child, because someone has adopted you, chosen you, wants you in their family, loves you, provides for you, what you begin to know is their heart. And God has invited us to know His heart, to know the depth of His love for us. A slave does not know that unless a master chooses to do that. Now, just to be sure, I'm not speaking from personal experience. I've never been that kind of slave. But it seems that that would be the case, particularly with what Paul is doing here, saying that the law makes you a slave to itself. See, if our relationship with God is always get it right, know God's rules, go ahead and do them, then we never have to know what God's heart is like. We just check off the list of rules and make sure we can do them all right, and we never really have to deal with God at all. In fact, we've got the rules to kind of keep God at arm's length so that we don't get into trouble. And God is saying, you're not in trouble. You never were in trouble. You're my child. And I want you to come close. That's the kind of thing that He invites us to come into and to walk with and to know. Now, the way that He accomplished that, as I've been hinting at, is by adopting you. And the way that He adopts you is this. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The very relationship that goes on within the Trinity, within God, between God, the Father, and the Spirit, between the Son, the Father, and the Spirit, that's what comes into our hearts, that quality, that nature. Whatever that is, that's what He pours into our hearts. And He calls it the Spirit of His Son, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is, as you may have come across from time to time, it's a Middle Eastern word. It occurs in a lot of Middle Eastern languages in different forms, but you can always recognize it. And it's like daddy today. It's a term of great affection between a child and the father. And that's the Spirit that God has poured into us. A spirit of that intimacy, that closeness, that love. See, God, because God is that kind of a father, is pouring into you so that you can become all that you were created to be. It's not that God is getting you to keep things right so you don't get into trouble. It's so that you take the love that He has for you, and you become everything He created you to be, which is what any parent would want for their child. In fact, almost everything Jesus points to in relationship to God is that. For example, when the disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He said, when you pray, pray this way, our Father, not the Father. Not some entity with a title, the Father, It's our Father. We're part of that family. He draws us into that place. That's His desire for us. That's why He poured that Spirit into our hearts, so that we know Him as that kind of a Father. Now, there may be some things that are challenging about that for you. Sometimes there are for me. Sometimes I'm not sure I want God to know me that deeply. And maybe there's some aspect that I'm afraid of, something that needs to be healed. God will do that. God will look past anything that anyone who loves you but may not have the perfect love of God can't quite get past. And there may be something you've done that brings shame to you when you think of it. Or somebody said something to you that brought shame to you. And it takes a little bit to get past that. Our Father breaks that yoke of shame by drawing us into His family, releasing you into all that He desires for you to do. There may be some healing that would go on with that deep within. So you can just keep going and going and going into the calling that He has on your life. You may feel you're not able to fulfill anything that important people around you expect of you for whatever reason. And that reason is less powerful than the adoption of God for your life. Somebody's said in some way or another to you, you'll never measure up. That is less powerful than God's word to you that says, you are my child. I was reading in the Psalms this morning, mightier than the sound of the thunder of many waters is our God. Struck me, especially this week after seeing a video from the tsunami 10 years ago. The roar of that tsunami and all that destruction. Mightier than that is our God. Mightier than anything that would be out to destroy you is our God. Our Father who calls you close to Himself. And if there's something inside that says, well, I don't know, God says, well, I do know. Come a little closer. Just let Him in there. Ask Him to do what He wants to do. A second thing to consider is this, because you may be the one who carries that family resemblance and relationship to somebody else. Do you know someone who needs to know God as a Father in that way? Someone who needs to know God as a healer or provider or gives direction, whatever it may be. Do you know somebody like that? First step may be, how's God asking you to pray for that person? That prayer may form you a little more to be the one who carries the relationship, carries the love of God to them in a way that just portrays it, that opens them up to see God as their Father. Consider that. See what God gives you about that. That may be the very item in their life that opens up with them a relationship with Jesus that they've been reluctant up to this time to have. Now, what I want to do right now is just for a moment, because you came this morning, I want to know if you have any questions or comments about this idea of God adopting us. Is there anything you want to mention about that or go deeper with? Yes.
It was it kind of searching around a little bit, which is kind of cool. I was seeing it just from a slightly different angle than I understand.
great. You've made my day. That's great. That's great. So you're kind of looking at it like the law brings you in, but. Excellent. Excellent. Great. That's great. Thank you, Richard. Wonderful. Anyone else? Okay. All right, then. Well, with that, let's stand, give ourselves to our Father, beginning with the words of the creed that you find in the bulletin.